really tremendous to be with you this morning. It really is. And as it's just been said, we've known each other a long time. And I said to Annabelle, having coffee this morning, I said, you know, it's only over a long period of time that people really prove their mettle. Anybody can actually have a short sprint, but when you actually run the race long term, you have to have some mettle to do it. And it really is a pleasure to be with you. And Mervyn and Marita have been committed to the journey, and they've been committed on the journey. So in the journey and on the journey, they've been committed. In other words, they've just put life and soul into what they've been doing, and that's really tremendous. And that's what God looks for in us, is faithfulness. It's for us to run the race. And as I say, it's tremendous to be with you. We're going to look at a scripture this morning, and that's in Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17. And we're going to read it together, then we're going to look at this portion of scripture. Numbers chapter 17. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one for each leader of their ancestral tribes. Write in the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name. For there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Place it in the tent in the meeting in front of the testimony, and I will meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I chose will sprout, and I will rid him of his constant grumbling against you by the Israelites." So Moses spoke to the Israelites and their leaders and gave them 12 staffs, one for each leader of each ancestral tribe, and Aaron's staff was amongst them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. The next day Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but it budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs in the Lord's presence to all the Israelites, and he looked at them, and each man took his staff. The Lord said to Moses, "Put back Aaron's staff in front of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me, so that they will not die." Moses did this just as the Lord commanded them. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. You reveal the truth to us, and Lord, we ask that you would challenge us, encourage us, and be with us. And Lord, we just ask that your word would penetrate our hearts and our spirit, Lord, more than just our minds, Lord. It would touch our spirit this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, well, life can be a challenge, and it really can be a challenge, and it's crucial to trust God and keep going. And but it really can be a challenge. And not everything is not always just rose petals. And you know, sometimes life has serious challenges for us. Hurdles to overcome, mountains to climb, and times when continuing seems impossible. There are times when we just feel, I don't know if I can just go on with this. And that's going to be the same for everyone. That's what Mandela said. This. It always seems impossible until it's done. It always seems impossible until it's done. And you know, I was speaking to you this morning. I was speaking at Seton last week, and I was speaking actually in the marriage at Cana and of Galilee, which was the first miracle that Jesus did. And he'd, you know the story, he'd been in the wilderness for 40 days, and when he came out in the power of the Spirit, the first miracle he did was so I thought, that's ideal. I'll just use the same message when I go to Livingston. So I thought, that's what I'll do. So I was organized. So Annabelle said, "Are you organized?" "Oh, I'm organized." In the back of my mind was, I'm organized because I'm going to use the same message. So I'm organized. But you know something? I knew when I preached it last week that it was no use for you. I don't mean it doesn't do you any good. But I think that what we need is a rhema word, where God speaks a word to us.
Amen.
And sometimes we're going to take the not so easy road, not so convenient road, and we're just going to apply ourselves and seek God. So, knowing I was coming here today, I didn't take the easy road. I really didn't. Because these are times of uncertainty and we need to hear from God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because this is not uncertain for God. God is not surprised.
Yeah.
God is not shocked. He doesn't go, he doesn't sit up in heaven and go, I don't know what's happening. He knows exactly mm-hmm. what's happening.
Amen.
J.L. Parker says, you will never need more than God can supply.
Amen.
So people think, what am I going to do? God will always have enough
yeah.
for what your needs are.
Yeah.
He'll
Amen.
Always have enough. Proverbs says this in chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Fitly spoken, in other words, a word in the right time for the right season is like words that are attractive and have valuable qualities. Mm-hmm. We need to seek God for prophetic words which instruct us, uplift us, inspire us, edify us, encourage us. This is what we should be. We should really be seeking God in these days for words now. To know exactly. It says the sons of Issachar knew the times and the seasons. And we should know the times and the seasons. Nothing God can tell us. But we have got to come and ask. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. So I think maybe we've got to me as well. And I'm preaching to myself this morning as much as I'm preaching to you this morning. And that's how I felt yesterday. I thought, God, I need to preach to myself as well as preach to people. Because, you know, we should be sharing together and sharing God's word together and receiving prophetic words together. Because otherwise, all it is a lecture. All it is an information exchange. And I could give you plenty of information exchanging. I run a financial company, Aberdeen, for a number of years. We sold it a couple of years ago. So I could tell you all about financial work. I work 2 days a week as a tax consultant in a legal office in Aberdeen, so I can tell you all about tax. But you know something, it won't change your life. Important facts, valuable facts, but it's only the word of God that will change your life.
Yeah.
And so we're not in for an information exchange this morning. Churchill said this, success is not final, failure is not fatal, and it takes courage to continue, and that's what counts. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to encourage you this morning. It's going to take courage to continue in the days that we live in. But you know, there's great promises in the Bible for us. God knows what we're in need of before we ask.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Before we even ask, He knows what we're in need of. So He's a purpose for you and I. I don't know where you are on the journey, but one thing you might be, if you feel it this morning you're in a crisis, a challenge, that is not unusual. That's life. And sometimes we think that nobody will ever accept us, we'll have a challenge, a crisis. I've had so many, I've had about 4 midlife crises, never mind anything else. And I'll tell you. Joking apart, the truth of the matter is, we're always going to have a challenge, we're always going to have a crisis because we're alive and we're breathing. We're human beings. And so if you're feeling like that this morning, there's nothing strange about you. If you don't feel like that this morning, don't worry, you won't be exempted. There'll be a crisis, so be careful how you judge other people in a crisis, because you may well find yourself soon in 1 year, and you might think, well, maybe I shouldn't have been quite so judgmental as I was to them. And so if you're not in a crisis, don't worry, you won't miss out. See, life is full of opportunities. That's one thing I've learned as life has passed on and passed by, and it's opportunities to put faith in action. Put faith in action. It's important to be aware that a vision from God, and I believe this is a word, I actually added this in, you know what I did? I wrote a sermon out during the week, and I accidentally tore it up. Seriously. And you may say, how can you do such a thing? Because when I thought, the grandchildren were upstairs, I was downstairs, the dog was wanting out, I was in a hurry, I thought, well, I'm finished with that, into the bucket, and that was the end. But the words that actually I added in when I rewrote it was this. It's important to be aware that a vision from God can defy the facts. A vision from God can defy the facts. So whatever the facts are, that may be one thing, but a vision from God can defy the facts. In other words, God can do immeasurably more than you can and I can ask or think.
Amen.
Completely defy the facts. Martin Luther King said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase.
Yeah.
When you don't see this whole staircase. He came to a place of crisis and a defining moment in his life. And instead of learning from failures and being defined by them, we've got to learn from our failures. So we need to redefine how we view ourselves. Growth mostly comes in the valley, folks. We'd like it to be in the mountaintop, but that's not where growth comes. Growth comes in the valley. And I know a lot about valley dwelling, because I've been in the valley, and I'm sure I'll be there again. And sometimes when you're in the valley, you don't know you're in the valley. It just seems that the wind's in your face and not in your back. And when the wind comes in your back, it's clear sailing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know something? You've got to stick with it in the valley. And you've got to stick with God, and God will grow you in the valley. See, the mountain top, the air is kind of light. There's not a lot of vegetation. But down in the valley, that's where God will grow faith in your life. So if you're in a crisis, if you're in a challenge, don't worry. That is a sign that God is growing things in you. And he wants to see you put faith in action, and he's going to change your life. This morning, I should really ask you, are you at a crisis point? Are you at a challenge point? Because I'm there constantly. I'm not here this morning by accident, and neither are you.
No.
I didn't come here by accident. I honestly believe that I should be here this morning sharing with you.
Amen.
And I believe that those who need to hear are here this morning as well.
Amen.
And three things you can do in a crisis or a challenge. The first one is ignore it. Like the ostrich, head in the sand, was not a crisis. The other thing you can do is run from it, avoidance. Don't worry if you're avoiding it, because when you stop running, it'll be there for you. So no matter how fast you run, the challenge is going to be there when you finish running. So that's kind of pointless on that one. Or you can embrace it and say, I'm going to allow God to bring me through the situation and bring change in my life. And that's really the most sensible one. Truth of the matter is that most people choose one or two. They either avoid it or run away from it. I know a lot about this because I've done it myself. So I'm an expert in these sort of things. But I also know quite a lot about embracing it. I know this, that when I've embraced the challenge, God has always come through.
Amen.
He's always come through. Not sometimes, every time. So the most sensible is option three. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. That's the reality. Living in the possible is not faith, folks. If you're living in the possible, that's not faith. That's just living in the possible. You are the Lord of the possible. So if you can do something, if you say, well, I want to do X, and you're well able financially and every other way to do it, if you get on with it, you're in charge. You're the Lord of that situation because it's possible. But living in the place of the impossible, Jesus is Lord. And we've got to move and live, me as well. So I'm not, as I say, I'm talking to myself as well. That's quite hard when you talk to yourself, because God reminds you. So live in the place of impossible, God is Lord. Which brings us to Numbers chapter 17 that we read this morning. And I didn't really have a title, but I've got a title now. In fact, I quickly got a title. And the title would really be The Leaders, the Led, and the Wife, and you'll see why in it. As we work through. But Moses didn't have an easy task. Moses did not have an easy task. And I would suggest that we likewise will not have an easy task. I think a Christianity that doesn't have any challenges, you've got to ask a question where you've got the real thing. Because if you've got an enemy of your souls, that says to me that you're going to have hard times, trials, and it's going to be difficult. If you've got no enemy, then it's going to be dead easy. So I'm always a bit suspicious if things aren't just a bit of a challenge. I can't remember what I remember in J.L. Parker, but I can't remember. He said, I don't have a problem with why some Christians suffer. I've got a problem with why some Christians don't. And if the reality in our life is, if we don't have any challenges, folks, maybe we need to be seeking God and saying, God, I want to step out. I want to get real with you, and I need you to intervene in my life. Exodus chapter 32 is by way of background. While Moses was meeting with God, and God was really imparting to Moses, while he was gone, the people worshipped a false god, a golden calf they made. And Aaron appeased the people and helped them in it. So Moses was away seeking God, and when he came back down the mountain, he found that the people, in Exodus chapter 17, verse 32, verse 17, he found that the people were worshipping this false god. And Joshua said to Moses, "There is a sound of war coming from the camp." There was a great noise. There's a sound of war coming from the camp. And Moses, being a man of God, he said, "That's not the sound of victory, that's the sound of defeat." You see, a great noise does not mean victory. You can have a great noise and have no victory. The truth of the matter is, the Bible says, God inhabits the praises of his people. What we were today, were God was inhabiting the praises of his people.
Yeah.
It was sweet. And I don't say that and not mean it, to patronize you in any way. I'm not a good patronizer. Annabelle will tell you. I am not good at the patronizing stuff. And because it doesn't lead to anything. But God inhabits the praises of people. And Moses knew, this is not God inhabiting the praise of the people. This is not a rabble. This is not a rabble. This is not victory. This is defeat. And he actually took the calf, and you can read it in Exodus chapter 32, and he ground it to dust. He ground it to dust. And I think some of the idols in our lives are only good for getting grounded to dust. They're not going to do us any good whatsoever. Number 16, the chapter before the one was read. So that's by way of a little bit of introduction to what Moses has been going through and suffered. In Numbers chapter 16 is recorded the story of a great revolt. Charges were brought against Aaron and Moses. And in verse 3 it says, they came a group to oppose Moses and Aaron. Now this is what said to them, "You have gone too far. You have gone too far." That's a good thing to hear when you're actually stepping out in God. You've gone too far. See, flesh doesn't understand what spirit does. And sometimes you've got to see, as it says in the New Testament, when Peter realized who God was and had a revelation, Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." You see, I think some things cannot be understood with the head. They can only be understood in the spirit. And flesh and blood can't understand the things of the spirit. That's why it's the things of the spirit that understands the things of the spirit.
Amen.
So when God comes and speaks into your spirit, change can take place. If it only reaches your head, nothing much is going to happen. But when it gets in your spirit, when God speaks a word into your spirit, change can really take place.
Amen.
And so this group had brought a rebellion in the camp, and if you read it, it was a terrible rebellion. And I'll just read this verse out here. God's judgment came upon Korah, and it says this, "And soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households and all Korah's men and their possessions." See, Korah actually was in rebellion, and rebellion is of the spirit of witchcraft. And Korah actually was going completely against God, and God had to deal with it. The wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go against God's ways, it's not going to live, bring us life, it's going to bring death to us. Not always physical death, but spiritual death.
Mm-hmm.
In church terms, you could say that that Moses had the biggest church in the world. And there was only two faithful, Joshua and Caleb. They're the only ones who possessed and entered into the promised land. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be of that too.
Amen.
I don't want to be of the other crowd. I want to believe that God is able, and I want to believe that it's not easy sometimes, and being a leader in particular is not easy sometimes. It's not easy for any of us. And all you need to be a leader is somebody following you. And if somebody's following you, you're a leader. And so whether it be in a household, in your workplace, in the church, wherever it is, it's not easy to be a leader. And it wasn't easy for them. The enemy, always opposes the work of God. Not sometimes, always. Henry Ford says this: "When everything seems to be going against you, remember, the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it." And I think there's really something in that. If you want to take off in God, you can be sure the wind's going to be in your face.
Yeah.
And if you want to soar to great heights, there's a cost. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a cost to Pentecost. And it doesn't come free. Because if you really want to move in the things of God, then you're going to have to apply yourself and be open to God coming into your life. You've got effort to make. And it might say, I thought it was free. Well, it is free in a sense that God doesn't charge you for it. But you're going to have to do something. Yeah. You have to be faithful. You're going to have to pursue Him. And you're going to have to, in the valley, trust that He can take you through the deepest valley. So, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar challenged them, and this is what they said to him in verse 16. Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. And sometimes we're busy defending ourselves. Let God do the defending. Let God do the defending. Number 16, God had to do the defending. God had to vindicate. God had to do the vindication. Why did God answer the way He did? I would suggest to you this. Because what He saw in the rod was seen in the life of the one whose name was in the rod. There was life in Aaron. Not only was there life in the rod, but there was also life in Aaron. All rods seem to be the same, but Aaron's budded. In our lives, we can have a sap present, but is there any evidence that Christ is in us? Is the evidence there? It says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is that evidence that you've got joy in your life? Demas Sakarian's wrote a book called The Happiest People on Earth.
Yes.
And we should be the happiest people on earth.
Amen.
And now, we should have joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
That's what we should have.
Amen.
And sometimes you meet some Christians, you wonder whether they're baptized in lemon juice or in water. And but we should be the happiest people here. That doesn't mean to say that you don't have trials. That doesn't mean to say you won't be sad. That doesn't mean to say you won't shed tears. But you know the joy of the Lord. If the devil takes your joy, he's taking your strength. Because the joy, that's what Scripture says, the joy of the Lord. So the journey itself holds more value than the destination. It's a means that justifies the end. It's not the end that justifies the means. And I think sometimes in the business world, as you've seen probably on television recently, they talk as if it's the end that justifies the means. No, it's important the means, it justifies the end. It's how you get there. So if you actually, for example, if you needed £1 million and you stole it from the bank, that means is not good. But if you needed £1 million and you worked for it and you paid for it and you did whatever you needed to do righteously for it, then the end is justified by how you got there.
Amen.
So it's really important to do the right things. Don't allow the past to occupy too much of your present. Mm-hmm. I could be tied back in the past and it just, you've got to move on from the past. Mm-hmm. And because we've all had hurts, and I'm not diminishing it in any way, we've all had difficulties, we've all had challenges, and I'm not running them down in any way. But you know something, I can't live in those. I've got to press on towards the high calling of God.
Amen.
When we were sitting there this morning, the thought came to my mind, we are part of a royal priesthood and a holy nation that belongs to God. And we really need to come boldly before His throne and say, God, this is what we are in need of. Yes, we want to worship You, but also we are in need of this. You have the power to say through God that my story will not end as it is right now.
Amen.
My story is not going to end as it is right now. So there's a question for you. Are there any spiritual buds that are popping out? Is there in the heart a new vision? See, vision is the art of seeing in God, is the art of seeing the invisible. Can you see the invisible?
Yeah.
There's times I've seen the invisible. And I've had people say that I've had advice at times, and I could keep you all here all morning, some of the things, but I've had advice from people that said, don't do it. And usually that's a sign, I better seek God because I think I should be doing this. Mm-hmm. I've had experienced people tell me when I was a young Christian, a young leader, don't do it. And if I'd listened, it would have been a disaster. But I really believed, you see, there's wisdom in a multitude of counsellors, that's what the Bible says, but make sure you've got proper counsellors.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
So new vision. Sometimes we need to seek God for new challenges, for inspiration, and for a solution to the challenges. We try and work it all out, and sometimes God says, well, try and work it out as long as you like, but you'll never come to any conclusion. If you just gave me in the first place, I would tell you what to do. And I have had those experiences. And I remember at one time, I won't go into it all, but I remember one time, I'd been seeking God about how to deal with a matter, which is quite a serious matter, actually. And I felt God say, when it's all sorted out, don't take any glory to yourself. So in other words, the temptation is for me to say, look how smart I am. I've sorted all this out. And when people came and said, how did you sort that out? I honestly said to them, I didn't. God did. And that's what we've got to do. That's what we're going to be prepared to do. So what I'm telling you is, there's a progression with God. And there's stages. There's desire, there is discipline, and there's delight. But you've got to go through the process. So there are some more questions, plenty of questions this morning. Have you the desire? Are you going to have the discipline? Because if you do, then you'll get the delight. But if you only have the desire and you don't have the discipline, you're not going to get the delight. You've got to press on and press in. I found in a Christian walk that it kind of goes like this. You have a dream, you've got a delay, you've got a difficulty, and you've got a decision. It's kind of how it works. And it falls into that. So if you've got a dream and say, I have a dream, I have a dream. Then there's a delay when you've got that dream. In fact, sometimes in God, when you've had a dream, it goes in reverse. It seems less likely than it was before you had the dream. You read their journey in the wilderness, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. God says one thing. God says, I'm going to take you from A to Z. And when you're at Z, he seems to take you backwards. Why go backwards for him? I should be going to Z. See, we want to all be bang, next easy. It doesn't work that way. So desire, discipline, delight. Dream, delay, difficulty, decision. See, it's all to do with dependency on God. If you can do it, you don't need God. If you can't do it, it's impossible. God becomes God.
Yeah.
And then you can accomplish things that's impossible in the natural. Mm-hmm. And God gets glory. To achieve what we've never achieved before, we need to do what we've never done before. To achieve what we've never achieved before, we need to do what we've never done before. Mm-hmm. How long is it since you had some new buds? How long since you had some new buds? I speak to this to myself. How long since you blossomed? It says in Psalm 90, this, verse 17, may the fragrance of the Lord our God rest upon you and establish the work of your hands. Our hands. You establish the work of our hands. In other words, God, you establish the work of our hands. May the fragrance of the Lord. I think there's a fragrance from God that comes upon us. Mm-hmm. And we can have favor with people. And that we'll normally never have favor with.
Amen.
So what stage are you at? Are you at the bud stage, a sprout stage, bud stage, blossom stage? You see, being a cultured Christian can be painful. Richard Wurmbrand, I read his book when I was a long Christian, and I remember this, that they said in the book, he was in solitary confinement for three years, and he was imprisoned in Romania for 14 years. So this is a man who knew about having to stand up for his faith. He was in prison for his faith. He said this, a flower, if you bruise it under your feet, rewards you by giving off its perfume, its fragrance. Mm. And if a Christian is crushed, the Christian will give out a fragrance. Mm. You know what that fragrance is? That fragrance is Jesus.
Amen.
So when you're finding that you're in a challenge, and it's a difficulty, and some people around about you are thinking, this is a difficult time for them. I think you can release a fragrance that will be a testimony to them and will be a blessing to you and to all those that are around you. To vindicate Moses and Aaron, excuse me, God caused the rod to sprout, bud, blossom, and bear fruit. In John chapter 15, it says this, this is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, sharing yourself, my disciples. Now you might say, well, what's that fruit? Well, it could be the fruit of bringing souls. That's a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. I think we've got to manifest a lot more of the fruits of the Spirit. I've got to manifest more of the fruits of the Spirit. Annabelle would tell you, I need to manage to, that's my wife, I've been my wife for 45 years, she knows me better than anybody else, and I have not arrived, I'm not Mr. Perfect. And she's not Mrs. Perfect. she's pretty close to it. But I won't get an NDE next week. But the truth is, I haven't arrived. So we've got to continue on the journey to have the fruits of the Spirit. Sometimes we settle for the good and miss the best. Mm-hmm. But I say this morning, don't settle for the good and miss the best. Mm-hmm. Don't settle for it. God has got more for you than you've had up until this point. Mm-hmm. He's got more for you. D.L. Moody said this, God does not expect the impossible from us. He wants us to expect the impossible from Him.
Yeah.
And I think that is the truth. God does not expect the impossible from us, but He does expect us to expect the impossible from Him. D.L. Moody also said, I've read a lot about D.L. Moody, he's kind of one of my heroes of my early days. Give your life to God, he says. He can do more with it than you can.
Amen.
And I'm going to encourage you this morning. If you give your life to God, He can do more with your life than you can. You will go and do things that you thought never possible if you will just fully give your life to Him. How much fruit, in other words, are you showing? Are we showing? Aaron's rod, four seasons in one day. Four seasons in a day. What a miracle. Mm-hmm. All the rest, dry rods. His rod, four seasons. William Carey was a very well-known missionary. In fact, I would go as far as to say he transformed world missions. And this is what he said, expect great things, attempt great things in God. Expect great things and attempt great things. So I would encourage this morning, mm-hmm. expect great things. That's what faith is. And attempt great things. That's faith in action. So what for today, promise for us, is God has got more for you than you've had to this point. I really believe it. Mm-hmm. He has got that. He'll order your steps. He'll open doors. Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Mm-hmm. I have got to align myself with His ordering of my steps, and so have you. So we're in it together. Isn't it good that I'm not preaching at you today? I'm enjoying preaching to myself at the same time. And Annabelle will remind me when I don't do some of the things I've encouraged you to do them. And that's a good thing as well. A number of years ago, I'm not actually, you know, I don't believe much in faith with hints. You know, some people do. I don't think you need to. I'm kind of pray to God, seek God, ask Him to open doors, and I really believe that God can open doors. He's opened doors for me, amazing doors. I mean, amazing doors. I've been dealing with people I should never have been dealing with, and I really believe I've got to give the glory to God. Mm-hmm. Honestly, some things are just incredible what God has done, both church, business, social, every way. God has done something amazing. But a number of years ago, we'd been in Peterhead for probably about, I don't know, 15 years or something, and we were kind of in a transition period. I was actually in the leadership at King's in Aberdeen for quite a number of years, and while I was there, I actually really felt that I really needed some confirmation from God, and I needed God to speak to me. And I was kind of rolling along, I was running a business, involved in the church, and I was doing all these things, excuse me, and I just wanted to hear from God. Ever been in that place where you just want God to confirm whether you're in the right lines or not? And because I'm not as arrogant to believe that everything that enters my head is from God. But some nonsense comes into my head from myself. And I've got to know the difference sometimes. Anyway, we go to Spain most years, our holidays are anyway, every year to our holidays. We go to the same place, we go to the same church, and so we got to know the people reasonably well. Certainly got to know the leader there pretty well. But this is actually early on in our short journey now. So I felt God say, contact Kurt in Spain and go and bring a word to them. And I thought it was part of God confirming some things for me. That is not me. I don't do that sort of things. I honestly don't. So self-promotion is not my thing. And so anyway, I contacted Kurt. I knew him well. So it's not like somebody I couldn't contact. If I contact Marvin, he knows who I am. I know what he's like. So we're up to a pair of nutcases. So that's an advantage. Honestly, it is. So if I said to Marita something, she'll know from experience over the years whether I talk nonsense or not. Sometimes I do, and I'll tell you. But generally, I think I try not to. Anyway, I wrote to him and I sent an email and said, I think I've got word from the church, so I'd like to come and give it to you, if that's okay. And I heard, it was silence for 3 months. So I said, you know, so I've not missed this. I said to Annabelle, she didn't know I'd done it. When I told her I'd done it, she went, you what? And she said, well, it's good then, if that's what you believe, and we'll just pray, and then we had silence. I wasn't bothered, because if God says no, that's pretty good for me. You see, he's either going to say red, stop, amber, get ready, or he's going to say green, go. So if he says red, I'm not budging. If it says amber, I'm going to get ready. If he says green, go, I'm going to go. Anyway, nothing happened for that period of time, and I was kind of disappointed, because I really felt this was God. And I really felt it. Maybe it was the pizza I had the night before, I'm thinking. And maybe they said too much cheese or something like that. And anyway, I started to doubt whether it was God or not. But I really, every time I doubted, I felt, this is God. So doubt comes in. Remember what I said earlier? We're going through the process. I'd had the dream. Now I had to doubt this discipline, this was God. Anyway, an email appeared out of thin air. Well, not quite out of thin air, it came from his computer, but anyway. But this email appeared, and the email said, got your email, sorry for the delay, explain later, that's fine. So anyway, we pitched up in Spain, and I was kind of excited. I've got word for these people. Something's going to happen in their church. So we turned up in the church, and that was fine. And we were sitting in an aisle, in a row, with an aisle. I was sitting in an aisle because I was going to go forward and speak. So I wasn't going to sit in the middle, so I could get past everybody. So I'm sitting on the outside. And then they added in a couple of chairs, and I was no longer on the outside. There was a man and a lady were there. But anyway, I was ready to go forward, and that was fine. And Kurt never missed this, but he said, I want you to introduce to yourself, to the people around about you, just before Colin comes and speaks. So, okay. So Annabelle speaks to the lady next to her. And you tell the people where you come from. So Annabelle says to this lady, my name is Annabelle, and I come from Balmady. We stayed there at the time. And the lady said, my name is Carol, and I come from Balmady. So Annabelle said to her, my name is Annabelle, and I go to the King's Community Church in Aberdeen. She says, my name is Carol, and I go to the King's Community Church in Aberdeen. And Annabelle said to the lady, she said, is that your husband? Yes. And Annabelle said, he's one of the leaders of the King's Community Church in Aberdeen. And she says, that's amazing, that. It is amazing. Anyway, I spoke that morning, and Carol is happy with me telling you this story, so I'm not telling a story. I don't like telling stories that people are not happy when you tell them. She'd be happy to hear the story. There's a couple of parts of the story. Anyway, Carol was there with a lady called Veronica. She met Veronica in the street and hadn't seen her for a number of years. They'd been good friends, kind of separated, lost contact. Carol told her she was going to Spain, and Veronica said, I would have come if I'd met you before. So Carol says, well, I've got a spare room in the place I booked. Well, if I can get a flight, I'll come. So Veronica came. So Veronica, we've got Carol, Annabelle, Carol, and Veronica. And at the end of the service, I'd said what I had to say, and I'd give an appeal. I said, if anyone wants to give their life to Jesus, would you indicate by standing up? And Veronica stood up. Veronica stood up and she gave her heart to Jesus. And And the person who was sitting next to me on the left-hand side, son, was going to university in Aberdeen and didn't know what church to go to and was seeking some guidance as to where his church, where which church his son should go to. How could you have ordered that? Well, a number of years later, Carol Axe isn't keeping too well now, and I was speaking in Seaton Community Church, and I felt I should tell the story. So I told the story that Sunday, and home we went to have our lunch, and there was a Facebook message from Carol Graham. Carol doesn't get in the house much now, and she said, "For the first time in my life, I turned on the television and watched Seaton Community Church. And I couldn't believe that Colin was told the story of what happened in Portobello's. I was wondering, God, I just had a feeling that God wasn't interested in me anymore. And God proved that morning that he was interested in me."
Amen.
I want to encourage you today, decisions you make in God have far-reaching effects. They're way beyond what you expect, way beyond. See, your part is just to be obedient. God's part is to turn the impossible into possible. So be encouraged. God wants to take you from the bud, the blossom, to the fruit bearing. There was all the rods sitting there, but only one had sprouted, budded, blossomed, and was bearing, and an almond was hanging off of it.
Amen.
If you want a word this morning, God wants to take you. He wants to sprout in your life. He wants to bud in your life. He wants to bottom in your, blossom in your life, and he wants you to be fruit bearing.
Amen.
That's what he wants to do for you. So if you're thinking this morning, it hasn't been easy. No, it probably hasn't. God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. If you've had, if you're having or have had challenging times, God is more than your challenge, much more than your challenge. And if the years are passing, and you're thinking, the years are passing, and I'm still believing that God is going to do something, I don't believe in that. As in the marriage in Cana, God has kept the best until the last. He's kept the best until last. So if you think God isn't held back by someone being a young person, medium age person, or an old person, God is interested in moving our lives through every stage in our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And that plan is to bless you and give you a hope in the future.
Amen.
If you've never had recently new buds, why not seek God and say, "God, I want a bud." I think that's one thing God will actually answer in your life. If you say, "God, I want you to take me from budding to blossoming to fruit bearing," I believe that's a prayer that God will be delighted to answer. It's been such a pleasure to be with you. It really has. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I pray that the Lord blesses you and gives you immeasurably more than you've asked or thought. That his blessing over you will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That he'll do things that you thought impossible, and that will mean that with those who are looking on, it could only have been God.